or additional live action games information, visit their website at lag217.com or call 217-359-4863. That's 217-359-GAME. And now stay tuned for today's episode of Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its Board of Directors, Associate Station Manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Allison Boot, co-director of the upcoming Disability Resource Expo. But first, disability news for the week of October 16th, 2023. The first story is from journalist and advocate Ed McManus. The Department of Public Health has released details of an incident in August at Mabley Developmental Center in Dixon, in which a resident suffered severe injuries when he was apparently repeatedly kicked in the groin by someone, according to a source. It is not known whether the perpetrator was a staff member or another resident. The incident occurred August 10th, and the department issued an immediate jeopardy citation against Mabley on August 30th. The citation was removed September 12th after the facility submitted a plan to take steps to prevent such incidents. The Department of Public Health said the facility failed to implement procedures to prohibit neglect when the resident woke up with severe bruising in his genital region, and also failed to ensure that an incident of potential neglect was thoroughly investigated. This failure has the potential to affect 117 individuals living at Mabley. The report said the individual was put to bed wearing underwear yet woke up wearing jeans despite being documented as sleeping from 10:30 p.m. through 6:30 a.m. when the injury was discovered. The cause for his injuries is still unknown despite him having same room supervision while in the toilet, during showers, during meals, and in the kitchen. He also has 10-minute checks when awake and 30-minute checks while asleep. His roommate is on a 15-minute check cycle while asleep. While the immediate jeopardy was removed, the facility remains out of compliance as the facility has not yet had the opportunity to implement and evaluate the effectiveness of their plan. There was a prior expectation that the center would be decertified, possibly affecting its federal funding, but that did not happen. There had also been a recent outbreak of Shigella bacteria, but no immediate jeopardy citation was issued for that. According to the Social Security Administration, people with disabilities receiving Social Security and Supplemental Security Income benefits will see an increase of 3.2% in 2024. The increase is because of an automatic cost of living adjustment known as COLA. As a result, the maximum federal SSI payment for individuals will reach $943 a month in 2024, up from the current figure of $914. The maximum for couples will increase from $1,371 to $1,415. The increases will start for about 7.5 million SSI beneficiaries across the country starting on December 29th, while increased payments for people receiving Social Security will start in January. The Social Security Administration indicated that it will be sending out notices to beneficiaries in early December, and the information will be available online for those with an account on the agency's website. The increase does fall short of the 8.7% increase in 2023, which was the largest increase in more than 40 years. The state of Tennessee will become the first state to provide early intervention services to infants and children with developmental delays or disabilities until they reach school age, according to the Tennessee State Department of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities. The Tennessee Early Intervention System will give eligible families the option to receive services until the beginning of the school year following the child's fifth birthday, representing the top of the age range allowed for early intervention services through the federal education law, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. The Tennessee Early Intervention System is currently a voluntary program offering therapy and other services at no cost to infants and young children with developmental delays or disabilities. It provided services to almost 18,000 children in fiscal year 2023. Last year, the Tennessee Department of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities offered families the option of extending services until the start of the school year following a child's fourth birthday. The latest federal approval extends that length of time for an additional year. And finally, as schools continue facing ongoing shortages of special education staff, the U.S. Department of Education will be investing grants worth over $35 million to attract and retain personnel, including special education teachers, administrators, related service providers, early intervention staff, and university faculty providing preparation for those professionals. A large portion of the grants will be used for scholarships and other efforts to assist students in covering the cost of completing programs that prepare them for jobs serving children with disabilities, according to officials. The Education Department also said that funding will go toward creating a national center intended to help administrators of schools and early intervention programs to improve their systems that support kids with disabilities and that more effectively implement the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Glenna Wright Gallo is the Assistant Secretary for the Education Department's Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services. According to Wright Gallo, quote, investing in the preparation and professional development of a strong, diverse workforce to serve children with disabilities is critical, not only to the well-being of individuals with disabilities, but to improve outcomes for all children. Special educators, early intervention providers, and related service providers are essential professionals in our schools, early childhood programs, and communities. But far too many states are struggling to hire qualified personnel in these roles, end quote. The Education Department also included in their announcement statistics showing that 45% of public schools in the U.S. did not have a full teaching staff in October of 2022, with the highest vacancy rates in special education. As of the start of this school year, data shows that 42 states and Washington, D.C. still had a shortage of special educators. And that's the news for this week.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Child, things will get brighter. Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday when your head is much lighter.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by Allison Boot, who is the co-director of Reaching Out for Answers, the local disability resource expo that has happened for a number of years. Allison is going to fill us in on all the details. Welcome to the program, Allison.
Hi, Vicki. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I'm very excited to get all the information, since I have not really been a part of the planning committee and all the stuff that goes on up to this date, and it's coming up in just a couple of weeks, right?
Yes. So it will be on Saturday, October 28th, from 11 to 4 At Marketplace Mall.
Which it that's where it was last year, correct?
Yes, this will be the second year at Marketplace Mall. We really enjoy that venue.
You know, I think they enjoyed having you all there too, because I've been to the mall on a couple of occasions over the last couple of years, and it was booming that day. They had so many people in for the expo that I think their businesses did fairly well. So that was positive for them too.
Yes, we've gotten similar feedback from them, that they were very pleased about the increase in business. And then it kind of worked out for us too, because we were able to get shoppers from the mall that wouldn't have necessarily attended the expo had they not been at the mall that day. So it was a win-win for all parties.
Yeah, it certainly was. I think it's a great choice for a location. I'm glad you guys stuck with it. I know that over the last couple of years that the expo has been somewhat reduced in size due to the COVID epidemic. Is that still continuing, or are you kind of building back up to what it was before?
We had hoped to have more exhibitors this year, but I think because the workforce crisis is still ongoing, that we ended up with a scaled back number of exhibitors. Once again, we have about 66 exhibitors this year, which is pretty similar to the number we had last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you know, given the shortage of staff, that certainly is an issue for a lot of providers, I know. So they probably have to maximize the people that they have and can't afford to let folks spend a day at the expo, which is really too bad.
I agree.
Yeah. So some of the organization, talk a little bit about what the layout of this is going to be and what people can expect to see when they come to the mall on October 28th.
We have various disability service providers from East Central Illinois and surrounding communities that help with everything from transportation to vocational and residential support, to organizations that help not only individuals with disabilities, but also families and caregivers. There's something for everyone. And there will be a booth for each exhibitor that has a couple representatives from that company or organization that people can talk to about the services that they provide and how to get in touch with them. Mm-hmm. The point of the expo is to help give better access to the local resources needed to give people with disabilities a better quality of life. So we hope people have an opportunity to talk to providers in person and remove some of that red tape that people encounter when trying to get the help they need.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think we need to stress that this is not just for a couple of different kinds of disabilities. You have a wide range of opportunities for a variety of types of disabilities, right?
Yes, we do. Not just people with physical disabilities, but we've seen an increase in services for those on the autism spectrum, those that experience mental health struggles. We try to serve all types of populations.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the list here. It also says that you are you have resources for people who are struggling with mental health, with hearing and visual impairments, for seniors, Substance abuse, epilepsy support. You mentioned the transportation options. Adaptive equipment is always kind of an interesting display too. Recreational, case management, legal services, financial planning, residential options. You mentioned employment. You mentioned support groups. There are a number of those, as I recall, that have participated in the past. And healthcare options. So, wow, what a lot of resources for people.
We try to make sure that there is something for everyone.
Yeah, and so is this different than what used to happen in the first few years? Because when you when the expo first started up, they had presentations by different organizations, and they had a kids activity room. Is that happening, or is that kind of off for the time being?
Well, we are trying to get back to making the expo more kid and family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have the activity room that you were speaking of that has been at previous expos because of safety and COVID-19 related concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a lot of family friendly activities. There will be a face painter at this year's expo that we're very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also having a Halloween costume contest. So those who dress up at the expo will be given a very small prize.
Mm-hmm.
And we are encouraging people to wear adaptive Halloween costumes if they're wheelchair users. We are very excited about having that since the expo is so close to the Halloween holiday this year.
You know, I hadn't really considered that, but you're right. That makes perfect sense. And with all the treats that are given out during the expo, seems like everybody has a bowl of candy sitting out. So that'll be perfect for the kids.
Yes.
How would you describe, for people who don't know what that means, how would you describe an adaptive Halloween costume, though?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. They've become a lot more popular over the last few years. Like, I've seen Cinderella costumes that have, like, a piece for the pumpkin carriage that can go over a wheelchair, like, cover the top of a wheelchair. So something like that, that kind of works with a person's wheelchair or crutches or another piece of adaptive equipment that they may have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a costume that kind of makes their equipment that they use a part of the costume itself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you don't have any providers there that make those kind of costumes, do you? That would be a good thing to have this time.
I wish we did.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. We do have a new exhibitor this year called Equability, which is an adaptive clothing company that they actually let people send existing pieces of clothing into them. And then they will add zippers or flaps or other pieces that make it easier for those with disabilities to put on or take off so that they are more able to dress themselves independently.
Yeah.
So we are very excited about having that new exhibitor.
I would think so. And I would think, too, that, you know, as a family member who buys lots of clothing for their kids and adult children with disabilities, that they get frustrated often with they spend a lot of money on something and then they can't make it work for their kids. So it sounds like this place might be really helpful in figuring out what can be done.
Yes. So we're very excited about having them at the expo.
Okay, so when people come to the expo, what's the first thing that's going to happen? They can come in any entrance, or do you recommend they come in specific places at the mall?
coming in by the food court is probably the best, or by the bus stop that's closest to the mall. Those two entrances mm-hmm. are where we will have exhibitors. That's welcome tables that lead to exhibitors will be.
And so people will have access. Did they get a bag with maps and so forth?
That's the first thing that they will be given at the welcome table, a bag with the resource book for this year with a list of all the exhibitors and information about the services that they provide, and also a map that shows where each of the exhibitors are, and materials for the scavenger hunt, which we are going to do again this year. That's another family-friendly activity that we're going to try to bring back with certain exhibitors.
Okay, so
this year.
So what is the scavenger hunt? What are you hunting for?
So the theme for this year's scavenger hunt is about the mother of the independent living movement, Judith Humus. Mm-hmm. And it's all about her life. So the scavenger hunt will be a list of questions that have to do with her life's accomplishments. And some of the exhibitors will have pictures of those accomplishments and things that she did in her life that people will have to find when they come to those exhibitors' tables.
And then if they find all of them, they are entered into a drawing? Is that the way that works?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have generously been given a number of gift cards by local businesses. So people that are entered into that drawing will have a chance to win a gift card.
Ah, okay. Well, now, one more question for you, Allison. When I was at the expo last year, there were people who came up to me, and I think they must have been people who were not necessarily connected to the disability world, but were interested in learning more. And a couple of people said to me, I don't even know what questions to ask. What would you say to somebody who had that kind of a feeling that, you know, they maybe shouldn't come because they didn't know which questions they wanted to ask or what they needed to know?
I would say to start out by finding someone with an expo shirt. Our steering committee will be wearing purple expo shirts. So we are the ones that know the layout in terms of the exhibitors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So if you have a specific resource that you're looking for, but you're not the kind of person that likes to go through the map and all that, and you just need help to kind of get started, I'm sure that one of the steering committee members would be more than willing to help facilitate those connections, because we do know many of the exhibitors. So I would just find somebody in a purple expo shirt. We will be all around the mall, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But a good place to start would be the welcome table that I mentioned earlier.
Yes. Yeah, that's great advice. And are there accommodations being made for people who have disabilities of specific types?
Yes, we will offer large print maps as well as maps and the resource book on a thumb drive for those who might need electronic versions.
Mm-hmm.
We will also have ASL and Spanish interpreters available.
That's great.
There'll be at least one PA there for those who may need any physical assistance. The mall has some wheelchairs available for rent also. There will be extra accessible parking at the mall that day as well.
Great. So that's going to be really helpful for people. Is there going, I know that in past years, there's been a quiet room for people who get overwhelmed by all the noise and activity. Is that something that's happening again?
Unfortunately, we were not able to acquire a quiet area this year.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you go to that welcome table, I'm sure that somebody in a purple steering committee shirt or an orange volunteer shirt would be able to direct you to an area that's maybe not so congested.
Or it might be good advice if you, you know, are a person who wears noise-canceling headphones for that kind of protection. That may not be a bad thing to bring either, right?
Yes, and you know what I just thought about? The family restrooms are also a good option.
Oh, yeah.
If you need a quiet area to go to, so that would be my recommendation. Find one of the family restrooms in the mall because there's a couple of those, I believe.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good recommendation there. And do you, does the Resource Expo have a website currently?
Yes. DisabilityResourceExpo.org.
And when you go there, is it going to be just information about the current expo, or have you been collecting information from the past ones as well?
Yes. We have information from past expos as well. As far as the like press releases and whatnot, I think we have information back to 2020, but our resource guide actually has information in terms of the organizations that have been there since the expo started back in 2007. A person can actually look up based on a year which organizations were there. So that's really helpful too.
Oh, absolutely it is. But I strongly recommend that when you go to the Disability Resource Expo, you make sure that you take that booklet home with you, because it's like an encyclopedia of local services. So it's been very handy, certainly for us and for a lot of people who have been through the expo, because you may not know necessarily that you're going to have this need coming up. But when you do, it's good to be able to look that resource up and get in touch with the appropriate people. So thank you so much for joining me today, Allison. The website again is disabilityresourceexpo.com or .org.
.org.
Okay, yes. Check it out. And I'm sure I will see you on the 28th for sure.
Yes.
Thanks.
And just to clarify, exhibitors will be in the Costco wing and the Dick's House of Sports wings of the mall this year.
Okay.
So those two wings are where the exhibitors will be.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for all the information. Hopefully you'll have a big crowd coming up on the 28th, and everybody should wear their Halloween costume, right?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Allison Boot, co-director of the Disability Resource Expo. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. No, I stand my ground.